whispering then to myself, do you I said, no, I'll leave. Am I clear on here? Yes, good, thanks. I'm doing things slightly different. I know we haven't had our reading yet. It's all right, I haven't forgotten. I've got Graham poised. Where is he? Oh, looking poised. Do you want to come a little bit further forward and be poised? I'm going to step over here because that's in the way. I've called this message tonight, Perfect Love. What is perfect love? But the love that God has for us. We've just sung about it. Perfect love, lavish love that he's poured out on us, that we would be called children of God. And that's who we are. That's who he says we are. It's love that is pure and unadulterated by personal gain or gratification. It's a relentless love, that love that chases us down. It's chased us down and caught us. A love giving its all, even unto death on the cross. God doesn't need for us to love him. That might be a surprise to some of us. God does not need for us to love him. Though in making us in his image, we were made to love him. That's what he created us to do. The triune God, the three in one, in perfect relationship with himself, is love. Father, Son, Holy Spirit loves himself. Not in an egotistical way, but in the most perfect way. Complete and perfect love. God is love. It says so in 1 John 4, verse 8. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. Now, I could have preached tonight out of these letters of John. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. There are more mentions of the word love than in any other book in the Bible. Just in 1 John is 32 mentions of the word love. I could just read it all to you. Actually, that would be really good. We would be blessed when we went home tonight if all I did was read the word of the Lord to us. But I'm not going to do that, because I want to pick on something which is a bit gritty. It's quite difficult for us in these days, which is why I've chosen the great commandment. And Graham's going to come and read it for me. It's Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through to 28. It's not a lot.
If you want to follow in the Pew Bibles, you will find it on page 1042. The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, verses 25 to 28, just four verses. And it's the parable of the Good Samaritan. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. This is the word of the Lord.
Before I go on, I'm just going to pray. Father, in Jesus' name, by your Holy Spirit, Bring home to us as we hear your word what you desire for our hearts to sing to in this song of love that you are singing over us. We love you, Lord, and we long to be made perfect in your love. So open our hearts and our ears. In Jesus' name, amen. So Graham's quite right. This passage does lead on to the parable of the Good Samaritan. And that explains who we are to recognise our neighbour to be. However, it's not this aspect of the gospel on which I feel God wants us to focus tonight. It is that we are told by Jesus in his reiterating what is written in Deuteronomy and Leviticus that we are to love the Lord our God with our whole being and to love our neighbour as, wait for it, as we love ourselves. And that's what we can find difficult, loving ourselves. It has been argued that Jesus didn't tell us to love ourselves, but to love our neighbour as ourselves. But I ask you, this might get a bit complicated, try and run with me. If you don't love yourself, how are you to love your neighbour as you love yourself? What measure are you going to use? The measure that God has given us is clear here. With the measure that you love yourself, you are to love your neighbour likewise. So if you don't love yourself, the measure is going to be very small. Does that make sense? Good, a few nods. Yay. I'd like to ask you some questions. Do you believe that Jesus gave up his life? Sorry, I jumped. First one. Do you believe that you were created by God in his image? Good. Is his image good? Do you believe that Jesus gave up his life on the cross to restore you in relationship with Father God because he loves you? Are you worthy of that love? I'm glad there were some positive responses to that. It's not a trick question. The answer was no and is yes. Because we were not worthy to receive God's love and forgiveness, Jesus gave the ultimate sacrifice so that we could be washed in his blood and made pure so that we can be seen in Father's eyes as worthy. Because we are owned by the one who is worthy. So the answer is no, and the answer is yes. So if God loved us so completely that he gave his son to die for us, who are we to change that measure? But it's hard. Life happens. People happen. Relationships happen. Circumstances happen. All with a human slant which changes the measure by which we are able to love ourselves. The image that we have of ourselves gets distorted, often to agree where it seems impossible to feel loved or believe that we are able to love. You may ask, how do I love myself when I've done so much wrong, when I'm just not lovable in my own eyes, when I don't look right, speak well, neither did Moses, when this was done to me and makes me feel unworthy of receiving, let alone giving love? Many of us fall into these categories. But I pray that tonight God is going to change that pattern of belief. The love with which we are to love ourselves is, in the Greek, agape, love. The love of God which transcends feelings. A love that is unconditional. We are to love ourselves as God loves us. He sees past our negative image of ourselves. He has cross-tinted glasses and he sees Christ in us, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. To change our mindset is a matter of the will. And the will is kicked into action with declaration. I will. Determination, grit and gumption in the power of the Holy Spirit. That could be some kind of cleaning stuff, couldn't it? Grit and gumption in the power of the Holy Spirit. I declare before God that I will love myself today by the grace of God. I am worthy, worth loving, because I am a child of a loving Heavenly Father. I can tell you I haven't always loved myself, but I can also tell you that I do love myself. I needed help to change that self-image from looking in the mirror and being negative about myself. I have some great friends who love me so much that I realized that actually I can't be that bad. And now I look in the mirror, when I look in the mirror in the morning, I see Jesus. And that's a will thing. I have decided that when I look in the mirror, first thing in the morning, you know, that feeling. You don't want to look in the morning until 9:30 and you've already done your makeup. Impossible. My decision was to look in the mirror and say, "Hello, Jesus." And it always makes me smile. So things have changed. Here, I want to recommend something. Because we listen to the lies, it's really good to learn how to laugh at the lies and to change the way that we think. I have this book. It's by a man called Steve Backlund. It's called Let's Just Laugh at That. He's got a ministry where he just laughs at things. You'd think him really odd. I'm not very attractive. Let's laugh at that. That's kind of how he is. This book is really helpful. I'm going to read a little bit, very, very little. It's just one page, and on that page it'll say the laughable assumptions behind a lie, and then it'll say the truth. And then it has strategies for overcoming the lie and declarations to renew your mind. This one's not about love, but it is about being blessed. So I know it adulterates it slightly. I'll just read a few things. Laughable assumptions behind the lie that I am not worth loving. There are people more worthy of God's love than me. God will have to discipline me before I can be loved. God can't bless me until, or love me until I am perfect. It's a lie, isn't it? God can't trust me with his love. And then there's the truth. Jesus has made believers worthy to be loved. And that is true. He quotes Abraham from Abraham and David. And then he says, Jesus took the curse we deserved so we could walk in the love that we deserve. He has strategies for overcoming the lie. Find your identity as God's precious child. I'm a child of God. That's who I am. Realize that it's not about you. It's about him. And start expecting love to follow you everywhere that you go. Then these are the declarations on this one. Obviously, they're always different. This says, I am a beloved child of God, and he delights in giving me good things. We speak these things out over our lives. They become real in us. When God looks at me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. This is all biblical, by the way. I am blessed in everything I do. The goodness of God gravitates towards me. The goodness of God is drawn to us because we are loved by the living God. If anybody wants to pick up the title from me, you can do that afterwards. The enemy of God and of our souls wants us to believe that we are not worthy to receive the love of God, so that we are crippled from loving our neighbor as ourselves. But there's good news in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10. This is what it says. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, "Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night." Who here knows that the book of Revelation isn't just about things to come? I'm glad. Do we know that? The book of Revelation is not just about things to come. The accuser has been thrown down from the lofty place in your lives. He may think that he has dominion over your mind. He does not. The salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. They have come because Jesus has come. Good news, eh? In Christ, as believers, we are new creations. The old has gone and the new has come. You've been born again to a living hope. When we say no to negative thoughts of ourselves in the name of Jesus, the enemy is thrown down. And it is for us to make positive confession that we are lovable. We are worthy to receive love and give it away. Pass it on to those who desperately need to know that they also are loved, so that we can love our neighbours. As we were praying one morning this week, the Lord showed me a pile of old, dusty, yellow, smelly, ancient textbooks. You wouldn't want to touch them because you could see that they would feel dirty. What was in them was old instructions on old ways of doing things and ways of believing. And I heard the Lord say that these were to be burned, not just set aside, but destroyed. The old way of doing, being, living, thinking is to be destroyed, for the new has come. We cannot take a hold of the new, loving ourselves, whilst holding on to the old, not loving ourselves. So if your way of thinking is from an old textbook or a stuck record that has been going round and around for years and years, it's time for it to be destroyed. Bring it under the blood of Jesus. Repent of believing the accuser's lies about yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to highlight to your heart the times when God has told you or shown you that you are loved and worthy of love. For some of us, this will be harder than for others. There are new neural pathways to be developed. As we participate in new activities or new ways of thinking, we're training our brain to create new neural pathways. Pathways get stronger with repetition until a behavior is a new normal. Something that I do when I meet somebody new, I try and look at their face and use their name 10 times. So that what's happening is that my brain is forming a new neural pathway to remember that that face goes with that name, Molly. I couldn't get that one wrong, could I? Somewhat dishearteningly, though, in the stuff I read, it takes 10,000 repetitions to master a skill and develop the associated neural pathway. Where do they get those figures from? I learnt to knit very quickly. I can even do it without the needles. But the reason why it takes a long time to develop a new neural pathway is because we have to unlearn a lot of what we thought we already knew as normal. The great news is that with God, all things are possible. Don't we know that? And he will accelerate that process if we ask him into the heart of our change, of our transformation. He's there already, ready to change us from glory to glory, to change us from the inside out. If you don't love yourself and want to be changed, it has to be that you want to be changed. God will pour in his love and by his Spirit's power, change your old neural pathway so that it goes in the opposite direction. Then as you make declarations that you are lovable, that you are a child of the King and loved by him, as you announce to yourself and to the accuser of the brethren that you love yourself, you will grow in this perfect love. And you will be empowered to love your neighbor with the same measure that you love yourself. I'm going to ask if you'd like to do something. I realize that for some, the idea of changing the way that you think is just too big. How can I do that? I've been like this all my life. This is how my mum spoke to me, so this is how I speak to me. It's a big change for a lot of people. So I'm going to do a very simple thing, or ask you to do a very simple thing. Sam's going to start playing a little and then go into worship. But as we lead into that, I'd like to ask you, if everybody does it, then it's not necessarily standing you out if you have a difficulty. I'd like you to put one hand on your heart, put the other hand on your head. Sorry, there's something very wrong about me. I could see Jane doing it. Yes. And I'm going to pray. Because we need to love ourselves. I ask you to come, Holy Spirit. Come and change our neural pathway to go in the opposite direction so that we are able to declare with confidence, I love me. Come and transform the way that we love, Lord, so that we're able to love ourselves the way that you love us, so that we're able to love others the way that you love them. Increase your presence amongst us and do that transformative work in our hearts and in our minds. We welcome you to come and change us from the inside out. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. If anybody wants any further prayer after the service or even from now, there's going to be a team over in the side chapel here for anything. But if God started to do a work in your heart or in your mind, allow somebody to pray with you so that God can complete that work and change your neural pathway to face the other direction. Amen.
Once was love.